The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
In 2018, the government introduced new legislation around domestic violence, and then a year later, Ireland ratified the Istanbul Convention. This is a European legal commitment which aims to combat violence against women. But is the state actually meeting its legal obligations? News Talk reporter Jessica Woodlock has been looking at the referral process for perpetrators of domestic violence.
Well, on the first day of the programme, when you go into the room, you have to admit to a group full of strangers why you're actually there in the first place, why you are there. So you have to admit to the group what you have done, what you've done in the past.
And do you remember what you said on your first day?
I went in and you just say, hello, I am here because I was physically and mentally abusive to my ex-partner. Jessica, the programme is very interesting and very good, so it is. You learn how to control your emotions. You learn how to de-stress, not to be. You learn about grounding. You learn about de-stressing. You learn about why you actually felt that you wanted to be abusive to your partner. To kind of strip you down, and it's a tough program, but yeah, it's good. After coming out of it, I have a better relationship with my daughter. I have a better relationship with my family, my brothers, my sisters. I have a better relationship with work. Some people might find it difficult because you are asked to answer questions that you don't want to answer about your behaviour, about what your thoughts were before you actually went through with your abuse. What were you thinking? You're asked some difficult questions, and some people mightn't find that, I don't know, very appealing. But from my own experience, if you do the 29 weeks, you do come out the other side a better person, and you feel a lot less. You're carrying a lot. Your load is a lot lighter than the 6 months previous. I have definitely changed, Jessica, since before and after the programme. Some of my family have even said it. They're the important people in my life, so the relationship with them has got a lot better, so I can notice that. Like, Jordi and Cecilia, the facilitators, like, they have the information. We just have the questions. So when we ask them, why am I feeling this, and why do you think, if you're confused, they nearly be able to tell you.
Do you ever think that the judge, the court, obviously, you know, referred you on to this? Do you ever think what would have happened if they hadn't done that?
It's a good question. I never actually thought, but I wouldn't have the knowledge, Jessica, I have now, of my own self and my own emotions and why I'm feeling things during the day. Why am I feeling sad? Why am I feeling happy? I wouldn't have the knowledge. So I think the MOVE programme was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
This man is one of the thousands of people in Ireland who have been violent towards their partner. Following a court conviction, he was referred to the National Choices Programme, which provides rehabilitation for perpetrators of domestic violence. But where do these programmes fit in the state's approach to tackling the issue? Back in the 1980s, rehabilitation for perpetrators of domestic violence was piloted in the US. Around that time in the UK, aid organisations and shelters for women and children who were affected by domestic violence were also set up. Soon, the idea of targeting perpetrators was raised, and over time, elements of rehabilitation programmes were implemented into law.
What we need to do is to come into the home where there is domestic violence with a therapeutic approach to both sides, because, you know, you all weep over baby P, but when he grows up to be a monster, you're going to hate him.
But where does Ireland stand compared to our nearest neighbour? I took a trip to University College Cork to speak with Professor Louise Crowley about this.
Internationally, the investment in and spread of perpetrator programmes has grown quite significantly in recent years. Quite rightly, the Council of Europe identified it as one of the critical responses to the prevalence of domestic and gender-based violence. And so in the UK, in England and Wales, they've been introduced. Scotland actually led the way for many years with their Caledonian system, which in a certain part of Scotland had a mandatory system whereby perpetrators would be obliged to complete an extensive, lengthy programme which included both one-to-one and group sessions. And the data that came from that in terms of impact was very powerful and was a very good evidence base to show that perpetrator programmes, when properly funded and properly engaged with, can be very effective. Until the Domestic Violence Act of 2018, there was no reference to perpetrator programmes in our governing legislation. So it was never an issue that received either legislative attention or financial resources to any great extent from the state. But in 2018, it was included as a potential for the courts to refer an individual to a perpetrator programme, but there was no requirement. So it was discretionary for the court to refer. And there are now problems with completion of programmes for those who are referred. But it does have a grounding now in law, which is to be encouraged. But my own view is that that's not strong enough. And we were compelled to bring this in by virtue of our obligations under the Istanbul Convention. We have taken the first step, I suppose. But I think if the state, through CUAN, the national agency, follows the recommendations of Grevio and we comply with our obligations under Article 16, we will then be much more effective in terms of working with perpetrators. But that to give effect to those recommendations, you know, serious attention needs to be given to this issue. And I think that if we are serious about addressing all the issues that give rise to domestic and gender-based violence, we need to work with and try to rehabilitate those who are committing this behaviour. Because at the moment, the perpetrator answers to no one once they've been referred, and there is no follow-up and there is no accountability. So if this is more than simply ticking a box, it needs to have that, you know, all-encompassing approach, and it needs to hold perpetrators to account where this forms part of the orders made by the court. If we really mean and recognise the importance of these programmes, we have to make it work.
Changes to Irish legislation opened the door for perpetrator programmes in 2018, and a year later, Ireland ratified the Istanbul Convention.
Today, for the first time, the EU makes a legally binding commitment to combat violence against women. The ratification of the Istanbul Convention will save the lives of women in Europe.
With 12 chapters and 81 articles, it sets a legal obligation for a range of measures to tackle domestic violence.
Beginning to take this fight seriously.
So, evaluating a country's performance takes a huge body of work.
Grevio is the committee of the Council of Europe, which is the committee that ensures that the Istanbul Convention is implemented in countries that have ratified the convention. Grevio committee goes to that country and evaluates how that country is implementing the convention. And the four pillars that the committee evaluate the country on is prevention, protection, prosecution, and the coordination of policies.
Ellen O'Malley Dunlop served as the CEO of Dublin Rape Crisis Centre for 10 years. She also chaired the National Women's Council and was a member of the Legal Aid Board. She's now the Vice President of the Group of Experts on Action Against Violence Against Women and Domestic Violence, or, as it's better known, the Grevio Committee.
Last year, for example, Grevio published a guidance for safe and effective perpetrator programmes. And it based on Article 16, which requires the states to have, you know, ratified the convention and take the necessary legislative and other measures to set up support programmes aimed at teaching perpetrators of domestic violence to adopt non-violent behaviour in interpersonal relationships. It actually evaluated programs that were in place in different countries. And one of the programs that it highlighted as being a positive program is the Caledonian program in Scotland. And the fact that this particular program, it's a comprehensive long-term program for perpetrators of domestic violence, and it's fully publicly funded. And this is really important because these programs need to be funded. And one of the things that Grevio stresses, that programs for perpetrators of domestic violence should not replace prosecution, conviction or sentencing, and may not undermine fair access to justice for victims. And also, as I say, if the way in which the Caledonian one, for example, in Scotland is delivered, like it is a community delivered, those delivering that programme would be in contact with the police, with the other services for victims. So it's not isolated.
The Grevio report itself noted that the non-mandatory rates for programmes led to low attendance, which was a problem. In Scotland, it's more court mandated, these types of programmes. What's your view, or Grevio's view, on these programmes being court ordered versus being court referrals?
Well, I think it's, as Grevio says, it is, these programmes are not to be instead of custodial sentences. So they run hand in hand with a custodial sentence. So Grevio would support both the mandatory and referring to these programmes.
Grevio's report on Ireland recommends the state integrate rehabilitation programmes into the criminal justice system as a tool for reducing repeat offenders.
In the short term, it's about bringing the judicial councils, judges, you know, civil society together and getting sentencing guidelines. We need clarity on this. You know, what is our plan as a society? Now, personally, I would be an advocate for the mandatory referral. That may not be, you know, the consensus, but I think a good case can be made for that. The long-term view is we need more investment in a much wider range of programmes.
Many people are in agreement with Professor Crowley's earlier assessment that the state and our legal system isn't going far enough in this area.
My name is Tom O'Leary and I'm Vice Chair of Move Ireland. I don't think we have clarity in Ireland as to what we're asking our courts to do. You know, like the domestic abuse guidelines in England and Wales, they state the court is sentencing on behalf of the wider public. You know, I just love that line. The court is sentencing on behalf of the wider public. But in Ireland, there's no connection between the public and the courts. And you know, there are, you know, a lot of cases that come up, and you can feel quite a lot of public anger around, you know, the way a case is being handled or the way the actual sentence is being handed down. So I just feel this needs to be brought closer together, you know, just to get a sense from the public, what is it we're asking the courts to do? You know, what does justice mean in the terms of a justice system? The key message at all times is we need to stop perpetrators from abusing the partners and the children. And the question is, how do we do this? What is needed is that the courts have options in terms of, okay, well, you know, there are a range of programs available for this particular individual. And, yeah, I mean, the Judicial Council have been looking at guidelines for domestic abuse for quite a number of years. Last December, they published what's called the District Court Judge's View on Sentencing and Sentencing of Relationship Violence. What it shows is that basically, you know, the courts and the judges are asking for help. They just don't have the information. They don't have the training. They don't know what's available. And there's a tendency in the Irish system to particularly to resort to, you know, imprisonment. And we've got overcrowded prisons. So it doesn't exactly, you know, some of these sentences are quite short. They're no longer deterrent, and the perpetrators come out pretty much the same as they went in. There's quite a lot going on, and there's no real clarity as to, you know, what the courts are being asked to do and what the priorities are. It's very clear that very few judges had actually really heard about, you know, perpetrator programs and were willing to refer people on them. So, you know, we need more coming through. I would make it mandatory. I think, you know, everyone who is abusive should be on some sort of program, you know, tailored to them to make sure that you don't have a repeat case. So an incredible amount needs to be done.
Two organisations are primarily responsible for rehabilitation programmes for perpetrators of domestic violence in Ireland. Data obtained from Move Ireland shows there were 138 referrals through probation and the courts in 2023. Just 14 of these completed the programme. The organisation says the pathway is problematic, challenging and unsuccessful. Data obtained from the Men's Development Network show 82 referrals from the courts and probation services. While the final breakdown of completion rates weren't released, less than a quarter of the total attendees of the programme saw it through to the end, with just 40 overall completions. That same year, Gardaí recorded over 54,000 reports of domestic violence. Last year, this jumped to 65,000.
I definitely think it would work if a person was ordered to do the programme, because in that programme, everybody that was in there had hurt somebody that they loved at one time of their life. Yeah, I think they should be ordered to do it, and may do it. If you're found guilty of something, she had done it, so why not be accountable for your own issues and try and get them sorted out?
And that report from Jessica Woodlock. Anyone affected by it can contact Women's Aid on their 24/7 helpline, 1-800-341-900.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.